As you can see from the bulletin, our gospel lesson this morning comes from two locations in the Gospel of Matthew. First, from the 4th chapter of Matthew, verse 17, and then the 18th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 5. And as I read these ancient words, listen for something new that might be being spoken into your life and into your heart today. Not what you have thought historically, but today. How is this impacting and intersecting your life right here at this point? From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Just want to clarify something. People are listening too closely to what I say. You don't have to listen that closely. I was notified not long after the sermon last week that I had a wrong address that I listed. My grandmother's address was off. So anyway, I stand corrected. So anyway, besides that. Okay, hear these words. The human story is a tale of people in motion. Now you should know those words by this point. You should know they come from Brian McLaren's book entitled The Great Spiritual Migration: How the World's Largest Religion is Seeking a Better Way to Be Christian. Provocative title. Provocative ideas. Okay, did you do your homework from 2 weeks ago? Of course you did not, except Bob and Marilyn. But besides that, no one did. Let me refresh your memory for a second. The assignment was very simple, a very simple one. Each day of the week, you were to begin your day with a question, the answer to which would guide you in your living on that particular day. And the question was this: how am I going to express Christ-likeness into the world today? In other words, how am I going to live into the Jesus story through my thoughts, through my words, through my actions today? You know, the idea being that if we are conscious of our identity as followers of Jesus as we begin our day, then maybe we'll live into that identity across the course of that day. All right, and maybe, I said, maybe some days you may even want to consciously reject that identity. Maybe one morning you'll give and say, "I am not going to share Christ-likeness in the world today." Fair enough. Move on. The idea is to be mindful, to be conscious of how you go about your life as a follower of Jesus. It's not to walk aimlessly through life. Okay. Well, we began our conversation weeks ago, maybe years ago, I don't remember, pondering the difference between believing and following. The difference between believing and following. And it was suggested that maybe reducing faith to a system of beliefs or doctrines or dogma just ends up threatening the vitality of our faith system. Okay, McLaren points to this fact. He says, for the past few decades, the church has seen a dramatic decline in participation rates, COVID notwithstanding. Okay. These declines, friends, have been witnessed across the board. It's not just Methodists. Everybody's declining. And he suggests, could this decline be due to the church's tendency to lift up doctrine and dogma as a litmus test to faith at the expense of dedicating time and resources to inviting people to walk the path of Jesus? A path characterized by love of God and of others. Could it be that the church has forgotten its own calling to be the body of Christ in the world? Literally, you know, a community that fosters the grace of God through how it intersects the world. All right. McLaren uses the metaphor of Coca-Cola. Anybody ever heard of Coca-Cola? Okay, a few of you. Okay, good. He suggests that it is as if the Coke company made the Coke can. The Coke can, the standard by which Coke was measured. You know, which would make absolutely no sense, he says. A brand, quote, a brand like Coke only has meaning because it is linked to an essential quality or qualities for a soft drink. Taste, not the can. He then poses this question. So what are the qualities of the Christian faith that really matter? You know, regardless of the packaging. All right. That's the question, don't you think? That is the question. That's what we're doing here week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, century after century. We're trying to figure out what the essential qualities of our faith are. And how are they made manifest in the living out of our tradition here at Pleasant Grove today? All right. And we're kidding ourselves, folks, if we think that the packaging has remained the same across two millennia. We're kidding ourselves. And we've forgotten our history if we believe that beliefs and doctrines have been uniform and static for 2,000 years. Look around you. We have Baptists down the street. Yeah, that's right. And a little bit further, Presbyterians. Overall, for Lenmai, we got Orthodox. Lutherans have infiltrated over on Lenmai. Go out Leesville Road, humongous community, St. Francis Roman Catholic Church, wonderful community. But you know, I would argue that you would be hard-pressed to find many words to follow, I believe, that all those folks would agree on. You'd be hard-pressed, I think. You know, remember we talked about certainty not long ago. At one level, that sounds so reassuring. Certainty. You know, this is the way it is. No ifs, ands, or buts. End of discussion. Amen. But what happens when certainties collide? You know, what happens when Methodist certainty collides with Roman Catholic certainty? What happens when Presbyterian certainty collides with Baptist certainty, or Lutherans collide with Orthodox? Who's the arbiter of truth? Well, of course, we are. But that was a joke. Okay, good. Do you see the issue? I hope so. Could it be that all of us have found a way to substitute believing for following, or have elevated belief over following? You remember what McLaren says? Maybe what really matters, maybe what's always mattered, isn't the beliefs we're told to proclaim, but the stories from which the beliefs have been abstracted. Beautiful. Friends, we are the body of Christ. And there are many other wonderful, creative, life-giving, and legitimate expressions of the body of Christ. All part of the same body. Each of us has been struggling, though, across the centuries, respectively, to figure out what that means exactly. Unfortunately, along the way, many of us have allowed our favorite trees to get in the way of enjoying the beautiful forest that has been laid out before us. It's called the Jesus story, folks. Do you know it? Do you know the Jesus story? We rehearse it every single week in here, year after year, month after month. Oh, plug for Bible study. Okay. Thursday, the 31st of August, we're going to have an open house. So if you want to, you've never experienced a Bible study like this, but if you're interested, come to the open house on 31st Cross Street, the Hyder House, and then subsequent weeks, and we're going to study the Gospels. We're going to study the story of Jesus over the next year. So anyway, just plug for that. Anyway, these are the words, the opening words to the Jesus stories. It all begins with these three words. Come, follow me. Move. With that, the church was off and running. And it's been on the move ever since. You know, Peter and Andrew, James and John, they said, we'll go. And they left everything. And they went down a new way. Old priorities gone. Old life gone. As they walked into the kingdom of God. You know, they found life. They found life by following the path of Jesus. So the age-old question is, what does it mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to follow? Well, over the last few weeks, we've zeroed in on a couple different passages from Jesus and from Paul. And words like this. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. And then Paul writes this. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am nothing. Nothing. Insignificant. To follow Jesus was to follow someplace else. Somewhere new. Now that sounds like a good thing. That sounds like a good plan. But again, what does that mean? What does it mean? You may say, my life is so chaotic. My life is so out of whack. I can't get a hold on words like that. I don't know where to begin the process of following. Because I'm not even sure where I am. All right. When I was a kid, we lived in a small town called Williamsburg, Virginia. I went to all my elementary school years there. It's a beautiful place, a much smaller community than it is today. And I used to, you know, just would wander, walk through the restored area in Williamsburg. One of my best friends lived in one of the restored houses. My elementary school shared a wall. The playground shared a wall with the governor's palace. And we would jump over the wall and we'd run loose through the governor's gardens there. But anyway, it was a beautiful town. But to me, one of the most compelling places in all of Colonial Williamsburg was behind that governor's palace in the maze. And I haven't been back in a very long time. And at the early service, I said, you think the maze is still there? And people said, yes, it is still there. So the maze behind the governor's palace used to be, and I guess it still is, was this shrubbery structure, probably 6 feet tall, 8 feet tall, I don't know, and several feet thick. And you always started at the entrance, and the goal was to get to the center of it. And so as a kid, I'd walk in, you go a little ways, and all of a sudden you got a choice to make. Do I go this way or this way? Well, I'll go this way. You go a little ways, you run into a dead end. Well, what are you going to do now? Well, you go back. And then you say, oh, I'll go this way. And you just kind of randomly go about the whole process. And eventually you do make your way to the center. But it takes quite the effort. But it doesn't have to be that way. No, you can get a strategy together. You know, you can make a turn and you run into dead end. You come back and you know exactly where you were. And you say, I'm not doing that again. I'm going this way. And make note and keep track of how you are moving through this maze. And you'll get there. It makes you time, but you'll get there. You know, that way got me nowhere. I need to go back and choose a different path. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, which means turn around. Go back. For the kingdom of God is at hand. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child. Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, unless you turn around and you go back, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So how do we get started? How do we go back? How do we go back and find a new path for our living? When I played sports as a kid, I was told many, many things by my coaches, some of which I can even share with you. All right? And these were words of great wisdom. Of great wisdom. And there was one thing that I heard time and time again. Well, not that. But there was another thing that I heard time and time again, especially at critical points in games or matches, words that brought order out of the chaos. My coach would look over at me and say something like this, Minnick, settle down. Settle down. Relax. Easy. Easy, boy. Now, those aren't throwaway words. They may appear to be, but they're not. They are significant words of wisdom. Now, golf is probably the best example. We have a golf professional that attends a 9:45 service, so I was afraid to use these words at the middle service. But in golf, the grip is the key. And you can over-grip. You can hold something so tight, it ruins your whole game. So maybe that's where we begin. Maybe we need to lighten up on the grip a little bit. A grip we have on beliefs, on certainty, on egocentrism. Maybe, just maybe, maybe, the way we're going about things and have been going about things is not the way we should have been going about things to find meaning for our lives as followers of Jesus. Maybe we need to change the way we do things. Maybe we need to go back in our lives and figure out where things got a little bit off course and choose a different path. You know, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks writes these words. He says, one of the strangest features of biblical Hebrew is that despite the fact that the Torah contains 613 commands, there is no word for obey. Instead, the verb the Torah uses is shema, to listen, hear, attend, understand, internalize, respond. He goes on and says, so distinctive is this word that in effect the King James Bible had to invent an English equivalent. The word, hearken. I love that. And that's what the great spiritual migration is all about. Attending, listening, understanding, internalizing, responding, hearkening. He walked by the Sea of Galilee and he saw fishermen. And he said, follow me. Let's get going. And they left their nets and they followed. The human story is a tale of people in motion. Friends, it's time to move. Okay, this is your last homework assignment of the summer. You can pick up the graded papers. They're in the hallway over there from last week. And this is the easiest one yet. I want you to take 30 seconds out of every day this week and think through the following words of the prophet Isaiah. And I want you to think of it in light of our ongoing conversation. They're Isaiah 43:19. Don't worry about that. I'm going to read them for you. These words are written centuries before the arrival of Jesus on the scene. Here are the words. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Think about that. Think about that and your life as a follower. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? All right. Next week, we're going to wrap it up. We'll move a little bit further. So thanks be to God.